Welcome to the Conversations Politics podcast. I'm Michelle Grattan. We've spent 2 days this week in the Western Australian seat of Canning, where campaigning is building up for the crucial by-election on September 19. This is being seen as an important national marker, especially for Prime Minister Tony Abbott. The seat is held by the Liberal Party by about 12%, what normally should be a comfortable margin. His former member was Don Randall, who died suddenly in July, and he was very popular in the area. This week, Tony Abbott joined Liberal candidate Andrew Hastie, while Labor Deputy Leader Tanya Plibersek was on the hustings campaigning with the ALP's candidate Matt Keogh. Bill Shorten was also in the seat, and for the Greens, Richard Di Natale spent some time with Greens candidate Vanessa Rowland. In a break from our usual long-form format, we did some short interviews with Matt Keogh, Tanya Plibersek, Finance Minister Matthias Cormann, Richard Di Natale and Vanessa Rowland. Unfortunately, the Liberals are not allowing Andrew Hastie to give interviews to media from the East. First, we spoke to Matt Keogh while he was out and about in the suburb of Armidale. We're here in Armidale Shopping Centre talking to Matt Keogh, who's running for Labor. Matt Keogh, how much of your campaign is based on being the local boy? You said you were born in the local hospital. And how much is it about sending a message about Tony Abbott?
I think it's actually about three things. Having local knowledge and understanding of the issues on the ground that concern the people of Canning. It's about understanding what are the issues that are unique to this area as an outer metropolitan and agricultural and mining and resources area. And it's about how the national issues and the wrong priorities of the Abbott government are affecting the people in Canning.
What's the feedback on the street and in shopping malls like this one?
The feedback has been that people are very disappointed with the government. They're very disappointed with the broken promises and the priorities of Mr. Abbott and Mr. Hockey. Things like cutting over $2 billion from hospital funding in this area, things like cutting funding to schools, not properly providing the infrastructure services that are required. That's an essential federal issue. Mr. Abbott likes to make out that public transport and rail is something that's not the responsibility of the federal government. But that's what people need here, and it is the responsibility of the federal government to support that.
We're only a year from an election at most. Are you getting many people asking what a Labor government would do?
People are asking about that, and we've been able to tell them very clearly that, you know, education is always better funded under a Labor government. Health is always better funded under a Labor government. Labor has a commitment to public transport infrastructure. We're not afraid to get behind rail as a key component of reducing congestion in these areas and allowing people to get to where the jobs are so that they can be in employment.
Do you think that this is a naturally Liberal seat?
I don't believe it's a naturally Liberal seat as much, or naturally anything seat. It's a seat in Australia where people are concerned about the things that matter to them, and that's why I'm out talking to everybody in the electorate so that I can best represent them as their Member of Parliament if successful.
So you would call it a swinging seat in certain circumstances?
Look, the electorate of Canning has been held by both Labor and Liberal variously over its history for quite a while.
So are you shooting for a win or a big swing?
I'm shooting for a win. I think it's possible to win this seat, and I'd be very happy to be the national representative of my home area.
Now, you're a lawyer. What did you think of the decision that Dyson Heydon announced this week?
The information that came out about Dyson Heydon and his involvement and then cancelled involvement with a Liberal Party fundraiser, and then the further information that came out around how that did not get disclosed earlier about his and the council assisting's knowledge of that, has put a huge shadow over this Royal Commission. It clearly creates an apprehension of bias, and it really comes down to Tony Abbott to take the appropriate action in respect of his Royal Commission. We were out talking about today about massive cuts to our health system by Tony Abbott, and instead he's spending $80 million on a royal commission when there are already appropriate federal agencies to deal appropriately with any misconduct that's been occurring.
Just finally and briefly, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing now?
right now I'm campaigning. I was a commercial lawyer before I started this campaign, but before that I was a federal prosecutor, and I started my legal career in Kelmscott. I grew up in the Kelmscott Hills. I went to school in Armidale. It's where I played my school sport, and I've been involved in a number of community organisations, including the Armidale Redevelopment Authority, and also one that was very close to my heart was when I was the chair of Starrick. Starrick's an organisation that runs women's refuges for victims of domestic violence, and it was an innovative service in that it provided assistance at local police stations and the Armidale Magistrates Court to help victims of domestic violence in making applications for violence restraining orders.
That was Labor candidate for Canning, Matt Keogh, and with him was Deputy Leader Tanya Plibersek. Tanya Plibersek, you've been campaigning in Canning. Are people choosing between Matt Keogh and Andrew Hastie, or between Bill Shorten and Tony Abbott?
Well, people are responding very well to Matt Keogh because he's a local boy who grew up in the area. He's got strong attachment to the area and really good local knowledge. So I think the fact that Matt knows the area well, has long associations with it, is very important. But I also think people are very disappointed with the Abbott government. We're 2 years into a government, two years today since Tony Abbott said that he would lead a government of no surprises and no excuses, and we've seen little else in the last 2 years.
Commentators are saying that the Canning by-election's vital for Tony Abbott. Is it also vital for Bill Shorten?
Well, I think it's extraordinary that there's even a discussion that the Liberals might lose this seat. Remember, it's a well over 11% margin, and it is certainly a strong criticism of the government that there's even a perception that it's possible. I mean, we do have an excellent candidate, but you would not expect a seat with an 11.8% margin to be even in contention.
Now, you've said today that Andrew Hastie is trying to make out that he's going to be president of the Canning Republic. What did you mean by that?
Well, I simply mean he's trying to pretend that he's nothing to do with Tony Abbott, and that he's running as a... He keeps saying that people aren't interested in Canberra, they're interested in local issues. Well, local schools depend on funding from Canberra. Local hospitals depend on funding from Canberra. Decisions that are made by Mr. Abbott in Canberra affect the people of Canning, and the job of a federal representative is to make the case in Canberra for better resources and better treatment of people in the electorate of Canning.
Greens candidate Vanessa Rowland was doing a press conference in the nearby suburb of Byford. We caught up with her afterwards. Vanessa Rowland is the Greens candidate in Canning. She's the director of a company on sustainable solutions, and so renewables have been quite a thing in her campaign. Could you tell us, this is your first campaign as a candidate, could you tell us a bit about your background?
So I am a lecturer and researcher at Curtin University, where I have studied my PhD. That was around low carbon urban development. And I was also coordinating a research project called Decarbonising Cities and Regions. So that really gave me a really comprehensive overview of all the, you know, initiatives that we need to put in place to create more sustainable cities and society. That definitely included a lot around renewable energy, but also issues of public transport and housing affordability and diversity of housing options. As a PhD candidate, we helped to certify the first carbon neutral school in Australia, which was a really exciting achievement. So after that experience, that's when I formed a company, and this company helps to helps other businesses, organisations and schools to reduce their carbon footprint and reduce their environmental footprint, but also help them become more financially sustainable, so saving
renewables
money.
Are quite popular in Canning, aren't they?
They are. Almost 50% of the householders have some form of solar on their roof, whether it's in solar PVs or solar thermal. So that really shows that the people of Canning are very supportive of renewable energy, and I think it's time that the government supports that as well.
Why do you think it is so popular here, perhaps compared to other places?
I think it would definitely have to do with affordability and rising energy prices. A lot of people are really concerned about that, and it makes financial sense. I'm sure that many of the people aren't doing it specifically for environmental reasons, but you know, the fact that it has that environmental benefit, but the main reason is that it is financially appealing to people.
Now, I suppose you're walking a lot of streets, knocking on a lot of doors. What are people saying to you in this by-election? What are their messages, their concerns, their demands?
Yeah, I've been receiving a lot of emails as well as talking to people, and you know there are issues of safety in some of the areas, as well as you know jobs and security of jobs. There are a lot of fly-in, fly-out mining workers that live in the electorate. They're concerned for their future. There's not really a plan for what are the industries going to be that are going to support them post this mining boom. And yeah, I think the issues of safety, you know, we really need to look at the cause of that and looking into you know even affordability issues. Again, it comes down to ensuring that we have you know safe and affordable houses for people and options.
When you say safety, what do you mean?
I think there are some issues with crime in some of the areas, and for some people, yeah, that's quite a concern.
Vanessa Rowland, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
That was Vanessa Rowland, and with her Greens leader Richard Di Natale. Richard Di Natale, this is your first real-time electoral contest since becoming leader. What sort of vote do you expect the Greens to get in this by-election compared to last time?
Oh, well, I just hope we can build on the 7% or so that we got in the previous federal election. I think we're keen to build on that. Ultimately, it's a question for people in Canning to decide. I think there's a real appetite for a new conversation around issues like renewable energy, how to diversify our economy and move away, particularly in Western Australia, on the reliance of mining. And I think that here's an opportunity to really talk about that vision.
Is this a good electorate in terms of the Greens, the issues that are likely to play?
Oh, well, I suppose if you look at the demographics, it's not, being frank. It's one of the reasons we got 7% at the last election is because it doesn't have the sort of demographic profile you'd expect of an electorate with a high Greens vote. But what I'm finding, Michelle, is that increasingly people around the country are looking to the Greens because they're sick of what they're hearing from both the Prime Minister and the opposition leader, it must be said. There's a real lack of leadership, no vision, no sense of what the country needs to look like over the next decade and beyond. No one's prepared to tackle some of those tough issues around what economic reform looks like. How do we move away from our reliance on coal? What are the new industries of the 21st century look like? And here in Canning, there's an opportunity to do that. And I think people are listening.
So you think that the Greens are becoming a point where people can register a protest against the main parties as much as for the Greens?
Well, I don't think it's a protest vote. I think it's a genuine engagement in what we've got to offer. And sometimes for people to start listening to different options, it takes the existing options to be as poor as they are at the moment. And people are fed up. They are absolutely fed up. They're fed up with the Abbott government, the sort of a government that's stuck in the past, that's focusing so much on issues like national security and fear of immigrants, when we're a country that is built on the back of immigrants. In fact, that's part of my own story. And they really don't know what the opposition leader stands for. They're worried that that it's an opposition that's hoping to surf into government on the back of an unpopular prime minister. And I don't think that's a particularly inspiring vision for this election.
You've announced that you're giving preferences to Labor ahead of the Liberals, but was there ever any doubt?
Oh, the Greens have run open tickets. That is, we've not preferenced anybody and allowed voters to make that decision. We've done that on a number of occasions. Of course, this is just a recommendation. People can still decide to preference who they like second, but our how-to-vote cards will be recommending at this election preferencing Labor ahead of the Liberal Party.
We caught up with Finance Minister Matthias Cormann at the formal opening of Andrew Hastie's office in Mandurah. He and other WA Liberals were out in force to hear the candidate and the Prime Minister and to mingle with volunteers and supporters. Matthias Cormann, we're here at the launch of the Liberal campaign office, and Tony Abbott is has addressed the troops. There has been criticism he's not spent enough time here. Do you think he's doing his bit?
Tony Abbott is here on this campaign trial now for the second time. When I last looked, Bill Shorten was here just twice. I mean, Bill Shorten has been a bit juvenile about all of this. The truth is that Tony Abbott is always very welcome in Western Australia. Tony Abbott is the Prime Minister that got rid of the anti-West Australian labour taxes, the mining tax and the carbon tax. Tony Abbott is the Prime Minister who delivered a tax cut for small business and who stopped the boats when Labour said it couldn't be done. So Tony Abbott is very popular here in Western Australia and always very welcome.
So to what extent would you see the result when it comes in this by-election as a referendum on Tony Abbott?
This by-election is about who is the best representative for the people of Cunning, and we have an outstanding candidate in Andrew Hastie. Obviously he's got some big shoes to fill. Don Randall was a very effective grassroots local member, and Andrew Hastie in recent weeks has worked very hard to win the trust of the people across Cunning to be their representative in the federal parliament.
What sort of issues are coming back to you from the people, from the electorate?
People in Cunning, like people in many other parts of Australia, are concerned about, obviously the economy and jobs. They want to know that their government has a plan for stronger growth and more jobs, and of course we do. There's a range of other issues, like there is a significant level of concern about the increasing prevalence of ice and the effect that is having in local communities, and we are working to tackle that, and there were some more announcements in relation to that this morning. So we're very focused on doing everything we can to win the trust of the people of Cunning again at this by-election.
And are you confident of the result that you'll hold this seat?
We never take anything for granted, but this is a seat that we won at the last election, and so we are now talking to the people of Cunning, explaining to them what we're doing and what we're planning to do into the future. And of course, Andrew Hastie is presenting himself as the candidate best equipped and the most experienced to represent them effectively in Canberra after this by-election.
Matthias Cormann, thank you very much.
Always good to talk to you.
That was Matthias Cormann. As I mentioned earlier, unfortunately our request to talk with Andrew Hastie were declined. To keep the balance, we have a short clip from Tony Abbott's speech at the office launch.
But most of all, it's just terrific to see all of you here because you are the people who our party relies upon. You are the people who keep our democracy going. Political parties are not always that popular, but we form a vital part in a functioning democracy. We have done a very good job because we have selected an absolutely outstanding Australian as our candidate. The people expect us as political parties to be the quality control in the system and to ensure that the person who is coming up as a potential representative of them and their area is someone that they can trust, they can rely on, someone who has been tested and has passed the test. And this man has been tested not just in the army, not just in the toughest imaginable circumstances, but he's passed our tests. He is a person of good values and fine character, just the kind of person that you need to fight for the people of Canning in Canberra, to stand up for the people of Canning in Canberra. And I am incredibly proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with Andrew Hastie here, and I look forward to standing shoulder to shoulder with Andrew Hastie in the months and years ahead in Canberra.
Oh, great.
It's an interesting calling, the calling of politics. Interesting calling. But it gives me great heart as a member of Parliament now for just over 20 years to see someone like Andrew Hastie prepared to do this. When he was serving in the army in Afghanistan, he was working for our country. And of course, when you're serving in the army in Afghanistan, every Australian is behind you. When you sit in the Parliament in Canberra, you are working for our country. But when you sit in Parliament, people aren't quite behind you in the same way. Nevertheless, it is just as much a form of public service. And Andrew, to take on this new form of public service, to take on this particular test of your character and your ability, it speaks volumes of you and for you. And it should make us all very optimistic about the future of our country. So good luck, mate, and we are all with you.
That was Prime Minister Tony Abbott, and that's all we have time for today. Thank you to my producer, Matt Dawson, who's had a particularly challenging week, and we'll be back with another podcast very soon. I'm Michelle Grattan.